Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Bruce Piasecki is a businessman and best-selling author known for his book, Doing More with Less. His latest is Missing Persons, A Life of Unexpected Influences. In the book, he ponders his life's journey from an impoverished childhood to his success in business and the people who influenced him. The book is a series of vignettes told in a third-person narrative that work through loss and passion, self-innovation, as well as fear and dreams. He'll be at the Northshire Bookstore in Saratoga Springs, New York, on Saturday night at 7 o'clock for his book launch party, and he joins us on the roundtable this morning. Bruce Piasecki, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you aboard.
Great to be here, Joe, and good luck in the near future on your author's
well,
work.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, we love I love that you have I think the last time you were on, you were talking about doing more with less. You've done a lot in the area and the region and talking about this subject and with your business roots. So I love the idea that you've sort of taken back and put the microscope on yourself a little bit. And was that initially a comfortable thing, or because some people do that to write about themselves, to understand themselves better, and they do it for themselves. But you ultimately thought that this was something that you could share that would be beneficial to others.
Well, I think I did it, Joe, for three reasons. The publisher of Square One asked me to do it because he wants to buy back four of my former books. The second reason is I think as you turn 60, you become a little reflective on good fortune, you know, your family, your friends, those you love. And I think the second reason is because of the inner power of memory. Mm. You want to capture it. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, Joe, reading about this ancient proverb where a person says a bear trap exists to capture a bear. Once you've captured the bear, can you throw away the trap? Words exist to capture meaning. Once you've captured the meaning, can you throw away the words? Where is a man or woman that has captured meaning so I could have a word with them? And so I wrote Missing Persons to have a word with 70 people that shaped me. So I decided to distort the normal memoir and write about my mother and my wife and my daughter and the people I love as to how they shaped my sensibility.
And that brings up the third person. That brings up why it's not this is my story. I did this. I did that. They did this for me.
Exactly.
You wanted that outside look in.
And I think another reason one writes is because there are certain things like trauma in youth or lust in youth that you want to reflect on. There's certain moments of sensuality in middle life that you want to capture. And so I think you write to find the meaning that you want to put in that bear trap before you die. And I think you also, most importantly, want to share something with other people's lives that are ambitious and that are trying to be self-determining. So I think of it as a book is it's sort of like you drop a little dot in Lake Moreau and the ripples come out. And so first, it's really not about yourself. It's about your family and about your society and then eventually about the traditions of other books. So there's a lot of references to other books in this book as my friend.
A life of unexpected influences, and I find that fascinating because obviously we all have influences in life, and sometimes when they're unexpected is later on when you think, oh, okay, this happened to me, but I didn't realize, obviously, at the time that this had such an impact and that this was such an influence on me and what I did, and sometimes it can be the most random of things.
Absolutely. There was a random meeting I write about. And when I was trying to decide if I had a future as an athlete, when my coach introduced me to Al Auter, who was a Long Island guy as well, but had won four Olympic gold medals as a discus thrower. And he taught me, and when I was talking to him at a bad time when I had hurt my knee, he talked to me about how preservation and persistence and prayer is the only real king. So it is somewhat random when you think back about those moments when meaning has been captured in your life. I write at length about the birth of my daughter because when Colette was born, it was as if I discovered an entirely new continent. And I had, at age 42, already done business in four different continents. And here is this new moment of succession, moment of realizing that things are very different. So there's an old African proverb that caused me to write Missing Persons, where they say, and most writers are lonely in their majesty, but I have not had a life like that. I've had a very busy social life. So the Arab proverb says, if you go fast, go alone, but if you want to go far, go together. And I think I wrote Missing Persons to celebrate the way my life went together with many people. And that's why I'm pretty pleased the way the Jay Perini thinks of it as a book for everyone, every man, every woman, that it go on this journey of youth, middle age, and older age.
And that's, as you indicate on the front cover of the book, of a memoir of the past, present, and future. Obviously, none of us know about the future, but we can only, but we do reach a point in our lives, and I think obviously this depends on the individual, and of course you're never like completely secure.
No,
you never know what's going to happen around the bend.
Well said.
However, once you've been batted around by life a couple of times, you do gain at least a confidence that, okay, I can get through this because I got through that.
I think so, but I also think that one celebrates the magical realism in patterns. As you get older, you see, say if the 7 or 8 major characters in this narrative are Jay Perini, Felicima, Colette, Lillian, my deceased mother, Walter, my deceased father, Darlene, and my uncle Ziggy, each of them had a pattern of relating to me. And what I'm quite amazed at now is I have continued conversations with them. Mm. So just like when I read Abe Lincoln or Marcus Aurelius, the human mind is so exploratory. The writer's mind is so interested in what the reader is interested in that you have continued conversations even with missing persons. And the reason I chose to call it that book is now many of the people who have shaped my sensibility, have shaped my interests, have shaped my understanding in the near future, are gone. So I tried to write a memoir that echoes Walt Whitman's very interesting phrase, Joe, where he goes, youth, large, lusty, loving, youth, full of grace, force, and fascination. Did you know that old age can come with equal grace, force, and fascination? So the book is divided into those three parts, right, of which there's a pattern of grace in youth, a pattern of forcefulness in my business years, and then there's a fascination in what the future might be based on the patterns of these 7 characters that I interact with.
That idea of missing persons, are you saying, and because I just looking for a little clarification. For you, were these people at a point, because they were gone, were they missing in you and you rediscovered them and understood their power, or by the fact that they are gone, they are missing?
It's a brilliant question. It's the former. I think that even though I loved my mother through her every moment until she was 84, you know, here's a woman who, when my father died when I was 3, rather than going back to factory work, she decided to take in foster children. So I write about my Puerto Rican brothers, Edwin Torres and Theo. I write about Su Ying Chang. And I grew up in this atmosphere where those foster kids would soon be missing. In other words, they stayed 4 or 5 years.
Right.
But I think about how they shaped my love of international affairs. My mother, who passed away pretty much during the time I took this book seriously. I've been writing these vignettes since the birth of my daughter, but it was the passing of my mother when I became theoretically an orphan that actually felt the largest part of this world. And part of it is the training of my mother. Part of it is the circumstance of early tragedy and the fractured family. Part of it is just thinking through what matters. And so when I think of how missing people can still be part of that bear trap of my life, I wanted to share that thought with other people. As we get older, we often think about those that shaped our life. And I found that many of the most important influences were completely unexpected. And that's part of the drama of this book.
That idea of
And I've talked about it many times in this program, but I'm always fascinated by that idea of being an orphan, because it is when even though I had a wonderful relationship with my father, and even though my mother passed before my father, I felt like an orphan when my mother died because of that relationship, and even more so than when my father passed a few years later. And but also that it to me anyway, and it seemed in reading the book, I got the same idea from you that the idea of, because we use those words, gone and lost, mm-hmm. and but that they're missing, but yet they're so present.
Absolutely.
And they're so there.
I appreciate what you're saying, Joe, because I think that memory is in the end our final accomplishment.
Right.
And what we discover after spending enough time on Earth, that being in the moment, you realize that identity is also shortchanging you, that you're larger, you're a feature of society, almost in a Whitman-esque way. So what you just said about your mother and father, Jay Perini, in the introduction to this book, refers to this idea that the fabric of life is often torn from us, and yet our memory wants to relive and fix those tears. And so I also reflect on how I was the person trying to wake up my father when he was dying when I was 3. But I think I've spent 57 years repairing that trauma and coming to understand that it couldn't and shouldn't disable me. It should not make me desperate. It should not make me urgent. I wanted to be at peace in my backyard. So part of the storyline of this is about how one chooses the right path to your own and your social satisfaction. And that it involves recognizing and appropriating the missing.
I find the two words that you just use of repairing and choice to be really interesting, because we're not unilateral. Because at least I don't think most of us are. If we are willing to repair that thought and that memory of the relationship with the father or the brother or the sister or the aunt, sometimes we're not willing to repair the relationship with the other person. And
right.
it's interesting, because you think, wow, okay, so why am I this forgiving here? And not forgiving, but understanding and working and willing to work on that repairing.
Yes.
And not with this other individual.
Right. And I think that I do reflect on that paradox.
Yes, you do.
And complexity in the book. I appreciate how closely you read it. In some ways, I also want to note to your listeners that there's a fair amount of humor and laughing at myself in this book. That's part of writing it in the third person, both to avoid the trauma and to appropriate the sportiveness. But overall, the best way to write in color is thinking of yourself as a dog in a primal way. And so I have a passage called The Life of Being a Dog. And essentially, I realize now in business, I often, like my family dog, Zachary, limped for attention. I often had a desire for attention. I think what you're saying about it, the notion that some people, Joe, are kept at a distance, I also reflect on why we keep some people at a distance. I have a section in the book where I'm reflecting on Karl Marx as my neighbor. And it's very funny, because I have Karl Marx as a very old man, where has already thought with Trotsky about the nature of communism, and he's in a respirator, and he's in a wheelchair, and he's across the pond where I live by. And what I reflect on that is that, ironically, I've kept him at a distance because I did believe throughout my life in business and capitalism and in self-determination. And so I have many passages, many vignettes, which show how some things have to be kept at a distance, while some things have to be brought closer into your heart in order to achieve meaning.
Right. And what I was alluding to earlier, and as you just discussed, I think of keeping that distance, but that isn't to say, as we move through life and as we become I'm 47, as I become 57 or 67, that influence won't change, that I won't then realize, oh, okay, there's the influence, and that person who was once distant will not be.
That's part of the unexpected.
Right.
I do also want to credit my publisher, who's made more than 5,000 titles, Rudy Shaw, and over 200 bestsellers. that he enabled me to write this pretty quirky, dramatic, third-person vignette style because I didn't want to get into what I call the Bruce Springsteen glory days. I didn't want to write a romance. I wanted to write something that has an everyday...
Everything went wonderful.
Exactly, exactly. And I do reflect both the passion and fear of getting old in this book.
Because I always talk about this. It's where you go out... You have a crummy vacation, you go to a place, you go to an island somewhere, and you just have a lousy time. And somewhere through the gauze of time, it's like, that wasn't bad. Maybe we should do that again. And it just sort of repairs itself. And then, you know, you go back and in 4 seconds you remember why you hated it the first time, right?
Yeah.
So, that, you know, that repairing is almost a defense mechanism.
I didn't think I knew this. You just used the word gauze and repair.
Yeah.
I think humans are hypersensitive. We all have an openness to the world of event. And what my book is very much about, Joe, is how thought does finally catch up to this fierce, severe world of event. And Missing Persons is a reflection on a storyline, sort of, I don't want to be so ambitious to say that some of my models were Marquez or Dante. They jump so much higher than I can. But I was trying to reflect on how time is that independent variable. Events are very fierce. But in the end, it's the act of getting the meaning and remembering the great conversations with people like yourself that helps secure a confidence in society.
Well, the book is fascinating. It's Missing Persons, A Life of Unexpected Influences. Bruce Piasecki will be at the Northshire Bookstore in Saratoga Springs on Saturday night at 7 o'clock for the book launch party, the launch of the book. And it's you can find out more information by going to northshire.com. They have all the information there. But it's at 7 o'clock at the Northshire Bookstore in Saratoga Springs, New York. And again, it is Missing Persons. Bruce, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for sharing with us this morning, and best of luck with the book.
Thank you very much, Joe,
very
and
nice
keep
to
up
have
the
you
good
here.
Work.
Thank you.
See you again.
Coming up next, the Congressional Corner. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.